As usual, Charlie, you do a super job leading our scene. And I, for one, appreciate that very much. I also would like this evening to publicly endorse Jerry's sermon this morning. I appreciate what he said, except for one thing. The Gators deserve to be recognized as thank you for a good lesson, Jerry. Luke chapter 15 is a very special chapter because of its contents. Jesus tells some of his stories, and he's full of them, and they usually are very effective. And I'd like for us to zero in on what we might refer to as the twin parables, that of the lost sheep and that of the lost son. Jesus said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus, of course, is responding to criticism from the scribes and Pharisees because he has kept company with sinners. And so he gives them these parables. He's straightforward with them, or he has said several times, and he'll say it again, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That was his nature, that was his purpose, that was his function. And it's every bit of God's character because he is the God of the lost. God deliberately seeks the lost, extends his grace to the sinner, comforts the wounded, and gives hope to the downtrodden. That's our God. He's the God of the lost. And I want us to see in these two short stories that Jesus tells that there is teaching and meaning evolving around three words, very short, small, less potent words. Those words are lost, until, and joy. Let's look at each one of those briefly this evening as we ponder the significance of these two stories. The word lost. When I think of the word lost and I feel the word lost in every fiber of my being, it has a ring of hopelessness. It has a message of despair. It has a voice of aimlessness. Have you ever been lost? It's a frightening experience to be lost. You feel hopeless. You feel that you're going nowhere, and you're not even sure of that. is illustrated in a story told by H.H. Stanton in his book, A Guide to the Parables of Jesus. He tells this story. There was an ocean liner headed across the Atlantic to the Middle East, Mediterranean Sea in the Middle East. As the liner made its way across the Atlantic, 900 miles out to sea, a sail was sighted on the horizon. As the liner drew closer, the passenger saw that the boat, a small sloop flying a Turkish flag, had run up a distress signal and other flags asking for its position at sea. Somehow, through a faulty chronometer or immature navigation, the small vessel had become lost. For nearly an hour, the liner circled the little boat, giving its crew correct latitude and longitude. The passengers showed a great deal of concern and interest, especially a boy of about 12 standing on the deck watching it all was heard to say aloud to himself, "Boy, it's a big ocean to be lost in." Sometimes we are like that ship, lost in the big ocean of life. Sometimes men are lost like sheep from a weak will and heedlessness. Still others are lost not from their own guilt, but from another's fault or the mechanics or the mischances of life. Lost is a word that's found in every language. It's universal, but it reveals God's loneliness. It breeds pity more than condemnation. For God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when he wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." As painful as it is, being lost gets God's attention. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul said to the church at Rome, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Of course, being lost is being separated from one sense of security. Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." But isn't it wonderful to know that being lost is not permanent? No one need be forever lost. It's a decision process. It's what we decide to become, to do. It's the discharge of our will. Isaiah went on to talk a little bit about that in the first chapter of his prophecy. Beginning with verse 16, he said, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Those words are mighty. They penetrated the history of the Jewish nation. And the outcome was exactly what Isaiah prophesied. It was a decision. It was a choice that Israel made to keep being lost. To them, it was permanent because they decided to make it permanent. Lost. What a ring and sound it has. It simply demonstrates that God is concerned with the lost. Our God is the God of the lost. And the second word in these two parables, in my estimation, it brings out the message both clear and precise, is the word until. Until suggests to me the extent to which God will go to save the lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, for example, it is said of the shepherd that he will go after the one which is lost until he finds it. Not going to give up on you. Not going to cast it away. But he's going to continue to search. In the parable of the lost coin, it is said that the woman will search carefully until she finds it. I spent 2.5 hours this afternoon looking for a little screw about that big on our kitchen floor. After finding the first one, I lost the second one. And then I lost both of them. But I searched and searched and searched until time was no more. And Carolyn said, if you don't get up from there, we're going to be late. So I'm here without glasses. Until God's efforts are thorough. And the search will be carefully made, and he will find the lost. You see, God's love is not satisfied by a percentage of those lost and found. God does not go by percentages. Souls are not figures or digits. God seeks one life. And will until he finds it. It is one sheep out of 100. It is one coin out of 10. And if these short stories are saying anything to us tonight, it is that God is searching, seeking, because we are valuable to him. He wants everyone to be saved. And the gospel of Jesus is committed once and forever to the value of the human soul, the individual, the person by name. These stories make clear the intensity and thoroughness of the divine search. God climbs the mountains, sweeps the floor until the lost is found. He gave his only begotten Son on the cross for the salvation of mankind. The ultimate act of love. Indeed, he is the God of the lost because he searches until he finds. Perhaps in your own conversion, you remember quite well. Perhaps the person who brought you to Christ never gave up. Not 1 minute, not 1 moment. Insistence, determination are all characterized in the word until. The third word, something from this story that illustrates the God of the lost. Here's the word joy. The joy here is indescribable. It is unparalleled. The story of the lost coin concludes with an amazing picture of heaven's joy. The joy of heaven is like an inlet flood. It redeems muddy flats. It floats all the vessels of delight. That's the power of joy. Luke 15 and verse 10 says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The rejoicing of the shepherd is unmatched. The story tells us that when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice! For I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. There's no wonder why Paul in the Philippian letters should spend so much time using the word joy. These two parables in Luke chapter 15 abound with joy. Joy which is so great that it must be shared by the finder's friends. He can't keep it to himself. He has to share it. It's so overwhelming and so overabundant that he calls in his neighbors, those who work with him, those who are dear to him, and those who are near to him. And those on earth and those in heaven. And they rejoice together. There are many passages in the New Testament which describe the future joy when his own are presented to him faultless. In Jude verse 24, it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Cliff Hardin tells me of the time when he moved to Florida. From L.A., Lower Alabama. To Cocoa, where he did his apprenticeship with a certain funeral home there. And he attended services at the Central Church of Christ in Cocoa. He said there was an elder there who kept after him. The funeral home was just a short distance from the church building. And he stayed on Cliff's case week after week, month after month, before he finally moved him out door. And Cliff said, that elder said, that elder was his salvation. Jesus pictures another story in Matthew 25 that illustrates the joy of discovering and finding the lost. Jesus said, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so joy expresses the emotional feeling of success, of achievement, of reward, of blessing. And the joy of the Lord is lasting, fully expressed and unpretentious. Now, if we should go on in Luke chapter 15, we would, of course, come to the story of the lost son, which we have chosen not to talk about tonight, but I am making a reference to it at this point. The joy in the return of the lost son is almost unbelievable. Bring out the best robe, the father says. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, and let us be merry. Why? Why all the rejoicing? Why all the happiness? In the Father's own words, "For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and so they made merry. Joy unspeakable. That's the God of the lost, full of joy. Concerned and interested in every person, and does everything until they are found. That is, if they want to be found. What about us tonight? Will we be able to cause great rejoicing in heaven by ourselves going home, by choosing redemption through the blood of Christ, by repentance, by a resolve to serve the Lord faithfully after arising from a watery grave of immersion, representing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then move on to teach and to lead others the same route, the same path. And will there be joy on our behalf in the heaven to come? May God help us to appreciate these two stories told by Jesus as they reveal to us the nature of God, our God, our Jehovah God, our Father in heaven, who is concerned over the lost and will work until they are found, and then there will be great rejoicing. If you've been away and need to come home, we will rejoice with you if you make that choice right now as we stand and as we sing.